TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Shut down nuclear power plants. May 6 Coalition Rally Against Nuclear Power, held in Washington, D.C., spring 1979. 5 weeks after the accident at Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania, in March of 79, on a mere 3 weeks' notice, 70,000 determined people came to Washington, D.C. to call for the shutdown of all nuclear power plants. And if they had succeeded, the world would be a so much better place today. There was a huge anti-nuclear movement before 1979, but it focused mainly on disarmament and a nuclear test ban. But because they were so keenly aware of the risks of radiation, of the, to this day, unresolved issue of isolating nuclear waste for 250,000 years, and of the terrible consequences of building nuclear power plants across the world that produce material that can be used to build a nuclear bomb, they came in buses from all over the U.S. Many of them belonged to churches, environmental, peace, labor, and women's organizations. 90 different groups in all formed the May 6 Coalition, and when they walked down Pennsylvania Avenue to the stage on the Capitol steps, they could not see the beginning or the end of that big, beautiful mass of humanity. And they could look forward to many amazing speakers: Bella Abzug, Jane Fonda, Ralph Nader, Dr. John Goffman, Helen Caldicott, California Governor Jerry Brown, writer Kurt Vonnegut, and many, many more. The iconic Yippie, Abby Hoffman, was hiding in the crowd since he was wanted for questioning. Abby Hoffman, like many others, had their own fights against nuclear power plants operating or planning to be built in their home regions. Thanks to the Pacifica stations WBAI and WPFW and the Pacifica Radio Archives, a good record of that event is preserved. And you will hear all these voices in this and the following TUC radio program. The first speaker was Bella Abzug. She was a lawyer, congresswoman, and feminist. During her successful 1970 campaign, she declared, "This woman's place is in the House of Representatives." On November 1, 1961, at the height of the Cold War, about 50,000 women were brought together by Women's Strike for Peace, co-founded by Bella Abzug. They marched in 60 cities in the United States to demonstrate against nuclear weapons. It was the largest national women's peace protest of the 20th century. Bella Abzug died in 1998. Here's the introduction by Pacifica of the host and the live recording in Washington, D.C. on May 6, 1979, at the 70,000 people rally to shut down nuclear power plants.
The Pacifica Program Service brings you the May 6th Coalition Rally Against Nuclear Power. Here's Celeste Wesson.
We'd like to welcome all of you to Pacifica's live broadcast from the Capitol steps of the May 6th Coalition Rally. Right now, speaking is former New York Congress member Bella Abzug.
Women Strike for Peace and other Band the Bomb groups succeeded in getting a partial nuclear test ban in 1963, but the tests went underground, and it was too late for many Americans. Research at the University of Utah Medical School shows that children exposed to fallout from the Nevada nuclear weapons tests got leukemia at more than twice the normal rate. When I was in the Congress of the United States, those of us who called for an end to nuclear tests, for a stopping of the proliferation of nuclear weapons and the arms race, and a moratorium on the licensing of nuclear plants, were also lied to. We were lied to by the Atomic Energy Commission, as we are now being lied to by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and we now even learn And we now even learn that even presidents concealed the dangers of radiation in the states of Utah, Nevada, and Colorado. Now we have a statement from an expert committee of the National Academy of Sciences that the health effects of low-level man-made radiation are small. The headline in the New York Times story just 3 days ago put it this way. Experts, though split, say radiation risk is small. The experts' findings indicated that, quote, 0.5% of the nation's population will develop cancer from man-made sources of radiation sometime during their lifetime. 0.5%? That doesn't sound too bad, they say, does it? But paragraph 9 of the story tells us that in terms of people, human beings, men, women, and children, that means about 1 million cases of cancer among 220 million Americans living today. Is there anyone here who wants to be one of those million Americans? Is there anyone here who wants her children or his children to be one of those million? Or one of the 6,000 babies who the report says will be born with physical deformities? Is there anyone over at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, or at the White House, or in Congress, or in the boardrooms of the oil industry and other industries that are pushing nuclear power? Is there anyone there who is ready to volunteer to get cancer in the name of phony progress? The problem is, of course, that they're not asking us if we want it. They're just going ahead and doing it to us, and to you, and to our children. And so we can't leave our fate up to the government and industry experts, because there's one thing we know. They lie to us, and they cover up. And in between the lies, they don't know what they're doing. Just read the transcripts of the emergency sessions held by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission at the height of the Three Mile crisis. And you'll be horrified to find out how little they knew. All they could agree on was to deceive the public about the extent of the danger. They lied to us about the necessity for nuclear power and its non-existent safety and cheapness, just as they lied to us when they tell us that we need to continue the nuclear arms race for national security. And that is the worst lie of all. The nuclear arms buildup is the biggest threat to national security and international security that has ever existed in the history of this world. And so we join together today in a nationwide movement to shut down the nuclear power death plants and to stop the nuclear arms race. No more nukes. For the sake of our lives, for the sake of our children, and for the sake of our future.
Right now I see Dr. John Goffman is beginning to speak on the stage.
Nuclear power is obviously unconstitutional. The Constitution of the United States provides nowhere that Congress shall issue murder licenses. Nuclear power plant licenses are nothing more or less than legalized murder permits. We have this in the courts now. The problem will be to get a federal judge with the courage to stand up for the Constitution. Now, true to form, President Carter has lived up to his reputation as the only man who is consistently on both sides of an issue. He has just announced, now get this, he said 2 days ago, I have always thought nuclear power should be used as a last resort. As election time nears, a little populism reemerges. It has all the authenticity of a $3 bill made in Germany. If President Carter, the Congress, and the nuclear industry believed one word of the safety of nuclear power, they would immediately all demand the repeal of the Price-Anderson Act, that pernicious law which absolves the utility industry of liability for the causation of your death, your property damage in a nuclear accident. The nuclear menace would end in 24 hours if that act is repealed, because while utilities are happy to risk your life, they will not risk their dollars. Can you imagine a worse law? A law that gives you, the American people, the privilege of paying the salaries of bureaucrats who arrange your death warrants and paying the profits of companies which act as your executioner. President Carter, the Congress, and the nuclear industry are doing nothing but generating fog, and you have to be the fog cutters, and you have to do it now. The Washington Star yesterday editorializes that you shouldn't be emotional about all this. I guess you're supposed to be cool if your 10-year-old daughter dies of a radiation-produced leukemia, and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission congratulates you on your daughter becoming what they call in nuclear double talk a latent health effect. A latent health effect. Hell, who can stay cool under those circumstances? You better be angry. As I survey this beautiful group of real, live, emotional Americans, I remind myself of how proud we should be of those who had the uncommon good sense to conduct the Boston Tea Party, of our heritage of Thomas Paine and Thomas Jefferson. Americans who care should tell Jimmy Carter, the Congress, the USA, and the nuclear industry, don't you tread on me with your nuclear garbage. We know our democratic and human rights, and we'll make democracy work. Thank you.
That was Dr. John Goffman, one of the prominent whistleblowers of the nuclear age. In 1970, he was one of the first to warn of the danger and call for the shutdown of all nuclear power plants. Goffman came from the Manhattan Project, worked on the effects of radiation at Lawrence Livermore Lab, and concluded that power plants are killers. He died in 2007. Back to Celeste Wesson from Pacifica Radio. She's introducing a union man.
William Wimpensinger is the president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. He's one of the leading spokespeople of the labor movement in the United States today and a vociferous opponent of nuclear power.
If our government subsidized renewable and safe alternative energy sources with the billions that it's forced taxpayers to put into the nuclear power development, then solar energy, coal, low-head hydro, and biomass-produced energy would be a reality today. And our nation would be energy independent, too. The federal government, including Congress and the courts, with a consortium of powerful private utilities and private energy companies, has squandered a third of a century of time. All of that time, billions of dollars in taxes and subsidies to give us nuclear power. And all we have to show for it is a technology which at best will be a 100,000-year poisonous curse on this planet. And if there are any answers to nuclear power safety, then by God, we have to absolutely have a moratorium right now on the development of that source to give us the time to come up with those answers. And that could very easily take at least another third of a century. This nation needs and needs now a safe, practical, low-cost energy program that will serve our people rather than a few giant, privately owned, profiteering energy and utility organizations.
The coalition says that at least 50,000 people are already here and that more are coming. And certainly if you have a vantage point view down Pennsylvania Avenue as we do, you can see that they're still coming. It's a really big rally. Right now, Helen Caldicott is speaking, and I think we should return to her for a few moments.
What Iceberg. Did we hear? It would have produced devastation of an area the size of Pennsylvania. What would have happened if that had have melted down? And by the grace of God, it did not melt. It was nothing to do with men that it did not melt. Did any of you hear the government officials on national television tell you those facts? Why not? It's like what Eisenhower says. Confuse the public, let them die in ignorance. What's happened at Harrisburg? They let out a lot of primary coolant, and rule number one is you never ever let out primary coolant. Like if you're a surgeon, you never cut the patient's head off. And Califano, who is not a doctor, says that 10 people will die. We physicians are very afraid that many more children are going to get leukemia and cancer in 5, 10, 15 years. Hershey's chocolate is 12 miles from that nuclear power plant. They are powdering the milk because they say the radioactive iodine will decay in a couple of weeks. That's true. But what about the strontium-90 that lasts for 600 years and gets recycled and recycled through the soil, the grass, the milk, the babies, the soil, the grass, the milk, the babies, and human breast milk? It's the babies who are 20 times more sensitive to radiation than adults. It is a children's issue, this.
That was Dr. Helen Caldicott, recorded live by Pacifica Radio at a rally in Washington, D.C., 5 weeks after the partial meltdown at the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant in Pennsylvania. Helen Caldicott is very well known as a dedicated anti-nuclear campaigner and author of many books, among them Nuclear Power is Not the Answer. Back to Celeste Wesson for the next speaker.
We all know he's worked tirelessly to investigate and expose the energy system he has now called our technological Vietnam. Welcome, Ralph Nader.
We're here today in a common quest for humanity, for life on the land, for a non-radioactive America, for an America that we can hand down to future generations so that they will live in a healthy and prosperous way and not curse us for giving them the legacy of the deadly atom. There are many of you here who are questing for a broader mission, a mission where citizens who pay the bills and who suffer the penalties will run this country. As citizens who are opposed to all toxic chemicals that are not unnecessary except to erode the health and safety of Americans. People from Niagara Falls who have suffered the Love Canal disaster. People from Virginia who have suffered the Keystone disaster. People from Michigan with the PBB disaster. These corporations are meddling with the most priceless genetic inheritance of humanity for short-term profit, for negligence, for myopia, for stupidity, for greed, for cowardice. It must be stopped. You remember in 1976 when he kept repeating this daring statement, and I quote Jimmy Carter, "If I ever tell a lie, if I ever mislead you, if I ever betray a trust or confidence, I want you to come and take me out of the White House," end quote. Well, he is about a mile away now in the White House, and he can hear you if you give him the message. Has Jimmy Carter deceived you? I ask you, what other form of energy jeopardizes our national security? Every nuclear plant is a national security risk. What other energy form jeopardizes our vulnerability to sabotage? What other energy form accelerates the spread of nuclear weapons all over the world like nuclear energy does? What other form of energy is used now and the payment later for generations of Americans? 250,000 years. Can we let that time period sink in the minds of Jimmy Carter and James Schlesinger? They are not just doing this to this generation of Americans. They're doing it to 250,000 years. For what? When we can replace nuclear energy immediately. When we have abundant opportunities to cut the 50% of our electric waste, can't we get nuclear electricity replaced by the 50% of the electricity that is wasted in the factories, at the utilities, in the office buildings? Can't we? Can't we? Can't we find the abundant fossil fuels that the oil and gas industry try to tell us does not exist in this country, when we know they do exist and we can use them as a transition to solar energy in the next 50 years? How long will the President of the United States and his energy secretary tolerate the giant oil industry turning Congress on an auction block, buying and selling a great many of the senators and representatives? How long can we tolerate the oil industry manipulating phony shortages, requiring long gas lines, jacking the price of gasoline and home fuel up for more inflation, for a crueler impact on the poor, for more unemployment? The evidence on your side is overwhelming. It comes from industry itself. It comes from university studies. It comes from congressional reports. It comes from governmental documents. It comes from the leading scientists, the economists. The conclusion is that nuclear power is too unsafe, too uneconomic, too unreliable, and too unnecessary to be tolerated in our land. After all, atomic energy is only a dangerous way to boil water. Can't we find a better way to boil water? Can't we boil water without having population evacuation plans to evacuate millions of people in case of a nuclear catastrophe around Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Chicago, St. Louis, and elsewhere? Can't we? Indeed, here is a form of energy that creates fewer jobs than other forms of energy, including energy conservation. A form of energy, nuclear power, that devours capital that's needed to extend a prosperity to millions of Americans who don't share in it. A form of energy where if one plant is shut down, maybe 10 or 15 plants of the same design have to be shut down, like the Babcock and Wilcox plants. What is important is to hear from you, for you to go back. This is not a soft audience. This is a tough audience of determined citizen activists. The important thing is for you to go back and get involved, as you already are, in increasing the power and significance and activity of anti-nuclear groups, and collaborating with other citizen groups, all of whom have the same stake in survival, the same stake in a non-radioactive country. Please go back. Go back to the grassroots, because your impact here will be amplified immensely if you develop that impact back home in the cities and towns and on the farms and in the villages of the country. Stay with it. This is not just an early May gathering that witnesses solar energy on the Capitol lawn. This is a gathering that's going to have stamina, that's going to have consistency, that's going to have focus, and that's going to make the utility executives, the members of Congress, and the President of the United States accountable for what they are not doing and what they are doing. The anti-nuclear groups and the many other citizen and consumer groups have developed, and you're here, and go back and increase the number of people who are going to get involved. Let me put it this way. If the corporation's government here does not become the people's government and stop atomic power, are you coming back in greater numbers again?
And that was Ralph Nader, co-founder of Public Citizen. Based in Washington, D.C., Public Citizen successfully challenged the pharmaceutical, nuclear, and automobile industries, and many others. You heard part one of Shut Down Nuclear Power Plants, the May 6 Coalition Rally Against Nuclear Power, held in Washington, D.C., spring 1979. Thanks to Celeste Wesson from WBAI and Lauren Kress-Love from WPFW, who hosted the event, and the Pacifica Radio Archives. Come back for part two to hear from Jane Fonda, Abby Hoffman, Kurt Vonnegut, and many more. You can hear this program again on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. That's tucradio.org. Look under newest programs. You can get information on how to order a CD of Shut Down Nuclear Power Plants, May 6 Coalition Rally Against Nuclear Power, by calling 1-707-463-2654. And I will repeat that number in a moment. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations and depends on the support of listeners like you. Your donation, CD or DVD order, keeps this program on the air. Call anytime at 707-463-2654 for information on how to order. You can get your CD by mail or credit card by phone or online on TUC Radio's secure website, tucradio.org. TUC Radio takes its name from an aeronautical term. Time of useful consciousness is the time between the beginning of oxygen deficiency and the loss of consciousness, the brief moment in which a pilot may save the plane. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.